Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 15th day of September, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Call. We're going to start off our look at what's going on around the nation and the insane world today with a quick headline review, because most of these stories would fall into what I call the duh category. We've heard them before. We may not have believed them the first few times, but at this point we're going, are you kidding me? How much further does this nation have to go before it hits rock bottom? Or is there such a thing as hitting rock bottom? One thing I can say without fear of contradiction at this point, if you think it's ugly now, folks, just wait. Here's the first of those duh headlines. Maybe they're in order of increasing insanity. From Dr. Joseph Mercola, U.S. life expectancy has fallen yet again in what's called an historic decline. This is, he says, from the latest statistics reported by who else? The New York Times at the end of August this year. Life expectancy in the formerly free United States dropped precipitously since the COVID pandemic in the years 2020 and 21. Before the Fauci flu and CCP-enhanced gain-of-function bioweapon was deployed back in 2019, the average American lifespan was nearly 79 years. But by the end of 2021, the Zyklon B year, 2 years into the pandemic and 1 full year into the mass vaccination sick campaign, life expectancy had dropped to 76 and a loss of nearly 3 full years, which is, of course, a statistical impossibility short of something, well, dramatic, having a causal relationship. But come on, be honest, you knew that, didn't you? Another one of those duh items, this one from one of the major leftist hellholes in the United States, Dr. Ngozi Ezike, former director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, has admitted during a press briefing that that state inflates the number of deaths caused by the Fauci flu Wuhan COVID-1984 pandemic bioweapon. Quote, I just want to be clear in terms of the definition of people dying with COVID, he said. The case definition is very simplistic. It means, at the time of death, it was a COVID-positive diagnosis. But he continues, just to make it clear how they're lying. So that means if you were in hospice and had already been given only a few weeks to live, and then you were also found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that technically, even if you died of a clear alternative cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. In other words, folks, that's how they inflate the numbers and try to scare the living you-know-what out of you and the poison poke into you. Asked about it, the so-called doctor even admitted, well, this inflates the numbers, of course. Quote, that makes the population a little bit afraid of this little thing, unquote.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Next, and I guess you could call this a related duh story, from the Centers for Death and Control, which has now admitted that killer batches, as the piece from Natural News says, of the COVID-1984 Zyklon B are still being given to the public. Yep, a recent investigation by the CDC revealed that certain lots that have already been identified of the alleged Wuhan coronavirus mRNA DNA-changing vaccines linked to extremely high numbers of adverse reactions and outright deaths are still being rolled out to the public. The specific lot number, says the piece, linked to those adverse reactions and deaths have been identified but not withdrawn. Why stop when you got such a good thing going? And besides, not like they can sue you or anything. So back next to Illinois again for another kind of duh story, but it still also falls into the category of they really do want you dead. This is from Ethan Huff at Natural News, and it's called The Purge. Can you believe it? Illinois is eliminating bail requirements for murderers starting next year. I guess if you're going to kill somebody, make sure you do it right there in Chicago, where it might get lost in the noise anyway. Politicians, it begins, in the state of Illinois have passed a new law that will do away with cash bail for 12 what they call non-detainable offenses, including, but not limited to, second-degree murder. Get this, these lying scumbags call it the Safe T Act. Safe Accountability Ut Fairness Equity Act. Yes, we want to kill you, and we don't care if you know it. It also eliminates the bail requirement for aggravated battery and arson, drug-induced homicide, kidnapping, burglary, robbery, intimidation, which they do so well, aggravated DUI, aggravated fleeing and eluding, drug offenses, and threatening a public official, which may be the only thing in the whole list that you can make a case for. Starting in 2023, all of these crimes become non-detainable offenses, meaning criminals who commit them, or commit them again and again, will simply be charged and immediately released back into the community to keep on doing what they've been doing. Some have compared the act to what was depicted in the film The Purge. Writes Ethan Huff, the rest of us just suggest, hey, human nature being what it is, guess what Illinois is now going to get a whole lot more of? And I guess what that means, folks, is that if you still live in the gun-free killing zone of Chicago, what the heck are you waiting for? As a matter of fact, get out of the entire stinking state before it's too late. They really do want you dead. Another one of those duh stories that may even swim a bit against the tide. Most people think Florida is on the right track, or at least trying to be, but not so much in some of the leftist cesspools like Miami. Kids and Teens says yet another piece from Natural News are now texting a Miami plastic surgeon at her request via Twitter and TikTok to set up their organ mutilation surgery appointments. Quote, here at Gallagher Plastic Surgery, you can just text us. Probably set up most of the surgery without talking to anybody on the phone. So just text us on this number, she says, as she points down towards the number literally posted on the kid-directed video, so they can set up their permanent sex organ mutilation surgery. And isn't that cool? Dr. Sidba Gallagher, a.k.a. Dr. G, as in gangsta, says she is fully capable of deciding whether you, you little prepubescent minor you, are mentally and physically well enough or mature enough to undergo the permanent life-changing surgery. And no, quote, year-in gender role is needed. Meaning, if you just decided today you felt a little bit crazy and wanted to whack something off, you can switch from being a boy to a girl or the other way around. Jump right in. Text now and set up that appointment. All of this while cool gangster rap about bitches and hoes, as the piece plays in the video's background, to influence kids and teens as to how cool it is to get your sex organs permanently mutilated. And here's just a quick slice of your host's own opinion. This doesn't happen in a nation where insanity hasn't replaced the rule of law. Oh yeah, and neither does this. From Paul Joseph Watson via Summit News, and the swamp denizen tyrants trying to destroy what's left of this nation, the demonization of Americans who begins continued on the anniversary of 9/11 when the disgustingly evil, that's my own opinion there, folks, DHS Chief Alejandro Mayorkas suggested that the biggest terror threat, no, it's not anything we've already been talking about, it's domestic extremists. And you know who you are. Ever read the Constitution? Believe the Bible still matters? Think that the rule of law is being destroyed before your eyes? Yeah, then look in the mirror. You're one of them. Anyway, they've been radicalized, he said, by false narratives propagated on online platforms. Und this is why you must be silenced. The Department of Achtung Homeland Security Secretary made the comments during an appearance on Where Else? MSNBC, where he said, quote, we're seeing an emerging threat, of course, over the last several years of the domestic violent extremist. And as Chris Manahan highlights it, Mayorkas has wielded a pretty broad brush on that score. He said last year that white extremists are the greatest threat to America, and he put out terror alerts painting any and all opponents of COVID lockdowns or people who don't trust the Biden regime as potential, and they've even got a new acronym for it, folks, DVE. Domestic violent extremists or terrorists. And guess what? If you saw the Biden speech from hell, you know what they intend to do to you, too. On then to some economic duh news. First, from Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden, core retail sales have disappointed in August, and July's numbers were revised down. Massive inflation tends to do that. A related piece from Ryan McMakin at the Mises Institute says, August price inflation soared, we knew that, but that means earnings fell yet again at U.S. corporations that have survived so far. And here it is again, duh. This one, though, does have an interesting observation buried within. Needless to say, says McMakin, this is not what the regime occupying the swamp was hoping to see going into the final 60 days before the midterm elections. But hey, they have a plan already, don't you know? It's also not good news for the unconstitutional Federal Reserve, because persistent price inflation is a repeated reminder of just how far behind the curve the Fed now is, and how reckless the Fed was in essentially printing nearly 5 trillion fiat bucks between February February 2020 and April 2022. Over the past 2 years, the Fed repeatedly assured the gullible public that creating vast amounts of new money out of nothing would be no problem, and that price inflation would never be anything more than transitory. Oh, yeah. But once that narrative was disproven, he continues, the Fed then began to admit, late in 2021, that CPI inflation was, no, not really transitory, but the Fed would not allow it, this time around at least, to become entrenched. But, turns out it really did become entrenched, and the Fed waited more than 6 months, from the fall of 21 until spring of this year, to actually begin raising the target federal funds rate. And he goes on to describe how their lack of real action probably means it's a bit too late. But, duh, we already knew that part again, too. And at this point, folks, they can raise interest rates as high as they want. The economy will long be dead anyway, and there's not enough money to pay it back at any rate. Unless, of course, you can print it. There's more than enough money been created now to destroy everything in sight. As history demonstrates, it's pretty much how it always happens. Put just a bit differently. There's more than enough money already been created to sink the ship. The problem is, they've destroyed the production side of the equation as well, and no matter how much money you want to pay for it, if it's not there, you just can't buy it. On then to housing for more of the duh effect for the day. The hits just keep on coming, says a piece from Tyler Durden. This is the sharpest turn in the housing market, says the quote up front, since the crash of 2008, as mortgage rates now soar above 6%. 3 months after hitting the highest level in 14 years, this Thursday, mortgage rates hit a fresh post-financial crisis high, topping 6%, and that, they say, is, this is a bit of an understatement, folks, a jolt to home buyers who were last year paying less than half that. Yeah, I guess a million fiat bucks just doesn't buy what it used to. And this is an interesting way to put it. The jump in mortgage rates, says Tyler Durden, a welcome development by the U.S. Central Bank, which now wants to unleash a crippling recession on the U.S. economy, is one of the most pronounced effects of the Federal Reserve's campaign to, at least allegedly, curb inflation by lifting the cost of buying for consumers and businesses and anybody else who won't be able to afford to live, and crush demand for any and all levered purchases. Here next, the final duh story in the sequence. This time from Martin Armstrong via armstrongeconomics.com. And by the way, I'm not being critical of people like the excellent cycles analyst Martin Armstrong, because he too has been pointing out this is exactly what you get when you do stupid things over and over and then keep doubling down, claiming at least to expect a different result. Washington, he says, seems to act perplexed as to why recruitment for the U.S. military is nearing a record low. The headline pretty well nails it. Food stamps for U.S. soldiers. But hey, that's just part of the story. Food inflation, of course, is on the rise across the world, increasing almost 11% in the U.S. over last year. That's the biggest 12-month spike in food prices since the last really big bout of inflation in 1979. He goes through some of the numbers. Bakery goods are up 15%, dairy products almost 15% in the past year alone. But the trouble is, service members who rely on their government pay, which is not adjusted for inflation, are struggling. And that's if they survive the poison poke, folks. So no wonder recruitment is down. All of this may come as a surprise, though, says Armstrong, because the Pentagon even comes right out and admits they believe 24% of enlisted personnel are food insecure. Huh? Yeah, how on earth, asks Armstrong, could the U.S. expect to maintain a strong military? The answer is obvious, folks. They don't intend to. When nearly a quarter of their members can't provide their families with food. Because it's not like the military budget is hurting for funds. Well, unless you're talking about things that aren't being shipped to Ukraine, where they won't be available domestically. So, what else is new? The U.S. Army is now recommending that service members apply for food stamps. So let me see if I can't summarize the recruitment story as it stands mid-September 2022. We want you dead. If you want to join the Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines, you will take the poison poke. If it doesn't destroy you, then maybe we'll just starve you and see what happens then. In other words, you still want to serve your country? Well, here's what we think about that. But it's not just the military that's part of the planned destruction. This one's really not a duh story, simply because it's been a long time coming. I'm surprised we hadn't seen it before now. On Monday, says a piece from Zero Hedge, the largest private sector nursing strike in U.S. history began to unfold across Minnesota. 15,000 private sector nurses from 16 different hospitals in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and surrounding communities walked off the job as they sought increased pay and improved staffing conditions in a healthcare system that they say is already under severe, if not terminal, pressure. said the MNA, or Minnesota Nurses Association, in a press release, the strike is believed to be the largest private sector nurses strike in U.S. history, and it comes as nurses have negotiated with hospital execs for more than 5 months and worked without contracts for the last several months. And most interesting to your host, I went through this entire piece, not a single word in there about mandates to take the Zyklon B injection or leave. So I did a bit of searching and found several local stories, basically boiling down to, they copped out. Here's one from the Twin City Pioneer Press, dated almost precisely 1 year ago today, preceded by their official statement, neither opposing nor supporting vaccine mandates. Minnesota Nurses Union, or the MNA, has opted for neutrality when it comes to vaccine mandates. Yeah, we're just not going to take a position. They did at least get just this little teeny part right. We question the timing of the impending vaccine mandates, they wrote in September 2021, and believe these mandates will continue to exacerbate staffing shortages. Duh and double duh. I guess what that means is all of those who knew better have left, and these are the ones who are now complaining that, hey, they're overworked and underpaid because everybody that had half a brain to resist the mandates is already gone, and look what's followed that. Here next, a story that I actually saw first on the leftist UK rag, the Daily Mail. And here's the headline, almost sounds like they're going to be objective, Rand Paul's gotcha moment, it says, Senator clashes again, and they put it in all caps, with Fauci in Congress over childhood vaccines, and plays him a 2004 video in which the COVID czar, and at least got that part right, says, and here he quotes, natural immunity is the most potent vaccination. So far, so good, right? But then the leftist wheels started to come off the spin wagon. Once again, they said, Senator Rand Paul went to the archives to dig up old comments by Dr. Anthony Fauci, sick, in an effort to paint him as, and I'm quoting, a scientifically inconsistent fraud, unquote. No, folks, the effort was to paint him as what he is, one of the most evil men on planet Earth, and an inveterate, unbelievable, unconscionable, anti-scientific, outright liar. Am I being clear enough? They're not. Once again, they continue, Fauci bested him with a fact-check und a quip. Give me a break. He was caught lying, so he quoted his credentials and tried to turn it into a stupid joke. I have never, ever denied fundamental immunology, he said. Yeah, he even wrote a textbook on it, folks. Well, to at least partial credit, they did include the clip. It starts with Senator Paul playing the clip on a laptop computer that everyone can see.
But she's had the flu for 14 days. Should she get a flu shot?
Well, no. If she got the flu for 14 days, she's as protected as anybody can be, because the best vaccination is to get infected yourself.
It goes on a bit. He does add this.
If she really has the flu, she definitely doesn't need a flu vaccine. Now, she doesn't need it because it's the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
The Kentucky senator then continues.
This is an ongoing question, and, you know, we've had ever-evolving opinions from you, Dr. Fauci. Currently, antibody surveys show that 80% of children, approximately 80% of children, have had COVID, and yet there are no guidelines coming from you or anybody in the government to take into account their naturally acquired immunity. You seem quite certain of yourself in 2004, but in 2022, there's a lot less certainty. One of the things that we also know after looking at this for 2 to 3 years is that the mortality from COVID is very similar, if not less, than influenza. So when we look at this, we wonder, you know, why you seem to really embrace basic immunology back in 2004 and how you or why you seem to reject it now.
And all right, honestly, I think the guy's being too kind, and I'm going to skip over Fauci's response because, quite frankly, it just plain disgusts me. I've quoted part of it anyway. We don't need to hear the whopping lies again, but I am going to play this little bit about the so-called fact-checking.
As a matter of fact, Reuters fact-check looked at that and said, Fauci's 2004 comments do not contradict his pandemic
Actually, words don't lie. If you look at the words behind me, we can go over them a little bit at a time. She doesn't need it because the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
It is true. It is true, Senator. It is a very potent way to protect.
So when you're trying to tell us that kids need a third or a fourth vaccine, are you including the variability or the variable of previous infection in the studies? No, you're not. Because when you have approved vaccines in recent times and the committees that have approved it for children don't report anything on hospitalization or death or transmission. Right. They only report that if you give them the jab, they'll make antibodies. And you can give kids hundreds of jabs and they'll make antibodies every time, but that does not prove efficacy. Right. So what you're doing is denying the very fundamental premise of immunology that previous infection does provide some sort of immunity. It's not in any of your studies. Almost none of your studies from the CDC or from the government have the variable of whether or not you've been previously infected.
Quick aside here, folks. That means we're talking about a scientific fraud when you ignore important variables and claim that you've proved anything with a so-called study that turns out to have been rigged with all the important data like deaths and serious injuries and side effects ignored anyway. And that's why they didn't want you to hear about it for 75 years. So back to Dr. Paul, who asked the question about whether an adult who's had three injections already should have a fourth.
Should I get a fourth one? If you're going to measure whether I get a fourth one, you need a category that has a fourth one in it, and you need one that has nothing in it, no vaccine or the fourth vaccine. But you also need to know whether they've been infected. If you ignore whether they've been infected, you're ignoring a vaccine, basically, so you're ignoring a variable. So what you're giving us is this, people decry vaccine hesitancy. It's coming from the gobbledygook that you give us. You're not paying attention to the science. The very basic science is that previous infection provides a level of immunity. If you ignore that in your studies, if you don't present that in your committees, you're not being truthful or honest with us.
And furthermore, and Dr. Paul doesn't come right out and say this, if these damnable vaccines destroy your immune system, what's happening is far, far worse than just ignoring natural or acquired immunity. Just a bit more of this now if we can handle it.
In fact, I wrote the chapter in the textbook of medicine
immunology. Any of the guidelines for vaccines, do any of the guidelines for vaccines from the government include previous infection as something to base your decision-making on with vaccines? Do any of the guidelines involve previous infection? That's why you're ignoring previous infection, because it doesn't involve any of the guidelines. And furthermore, we've been asking you, and you refuse to answer, whether anybody on the vaccine committees gets royalties from the pharmaceutical companies. I asked you last time, and what was your response? We don't have to tell you.
Right.
We've demanded them through Freedom of Information Act, and what have you said? We're not going to tell you. But I tell you this, when we get in charge, we're going to change the rules, and you will have to divulge where you get your royalties from what companies, and if anybody on the committee has a conflict of interest, we're going to learn about it. I promise you that.
Again, folks, he's being too kind. Truth be told, we already know about the conflicts of interest. As a matter of fact, when people resign, they're replaced with shills who go ahead and say, the hell with kids, the hell with studies, too. We're going to go ahead and approve this poison for kids all the way down to 6 months old, and once we get our way, we'll kill them all. I wish that was just hyperbole.
Mr. Chair, can I respond to that, please?
Hey.
Okay, there are two aspects for what you said. You keep saying you approve. You do this, you do that. The committees that give the approval are FDA through their advisory committee. The committees that recommend are CDC through their advisory committee. And you keep saying, I'm the one that's approving a vaccine based on certain data. So I don't really understand. With all due respect, Senator,
you're the one that said you would not reveal. No, you would not reveal what companies gave you royalties, or what company gave the other scientists royalties.
Got to move
That's
on.
What you told the committee.
Whoa. Okay, enough of that. The truth is, folks, and read RFK Jr.'s excellent book on the topic. Fauci doesn't decide directly. No, Fauci just makes darn sure that if you don't toe the line, you'll never work in this town, you'll never work in this industry, you'll never have another grant, because I am the science, I control the purse strings, and your university, your hospital, your medical center, you'll lose your job, you'll never publish again. Don't think for a second he doesn't control everybody in this town, everybody who has anything to do with the medical industry or pharmacopoeia, you name it. It's not science. It's not medicine. and this is just downright satanic. All right, enough of that for today. Hey, thanks for being with us, folks, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.